Blog Talk Radio.
Walking the Talk Radio with your host, the Northern Belle, Andrea J. Carr. Tune in each and every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. You can call in 646-787-1715 or log in to blogtalkradio/WTTR. Tune in each week as Andrea talks about walking the best life with God. Walking the Talk Radio. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to Walking the Talk Radio. I am your host, the Northern Belle, Andrea J. Carr. Thank you so much for tuning in with me this morning. I appreciate you tuning in. It's a dreary Saturday morning, but it's beautiful because we're alive and we get to see it. So as you're complaining about the rain coming down here in Atlanta or the traffic, just be excited that you're still here to be complaining. We've missed a couple of weeks. We took off for the summer break just to relax a little bit in the summertime, enjoy some of this summer weather before the kids went back to school. But I'm happy and excited to be back here on Blog Talk Radio, here at Walking the Talk Radio. I'm just excited and ecstatic. So much has happened since the last time we spoke, but there are not enough minutes to go into that, so I won't. But just know that all is well, and that we're taking time as a family and as friends, as believers, to just love on God, to just hear from God. This morning, I'm just going to talk about something very simple. It's something that's been in my spirit a lot, and that is the names of God. I've been really interested in finding out God's characteristics, who he is, who I'm praying to, who I'm talking to, who I'm seeking, because even though ultimately we're always seeking God, there are sometimes that we need a specific part of him. We need him to do something specific for our lives, or we want him to show up specifically. So just like we specifically have a name, my name is Andrea. I have children who have names. You know them, Isis, Danielle, and D'Angelo. I just wanted to talk about some of the names of God coming up in the next couple of weeks, just because it helps sometimes, I think, when we know who we're talking to. Sometimes we think about God generally, and it defeats the whole purpose, because when we think about God in a general sense, sometimes we can liken him to man. And we have to be careful of that, because he's not a man. He is a spirit, and he's not just a spirit. He is the spirit. He's the biggest spirit. He is the holiest of holies. And we have a habit of sometimes taking away the power and authority that he has, and it's not a great thing. So today we're going to talk about Elohim, the creator. Close your eyes and bow your heads. Father God, Elohim, we come to you this morning, and we're just praying, Lord God, that you would show up and show out in someone's life, Lord. We hallow your name. You are awesome, wonderful, miraculous, mighty, powerful. You are our friend, our father, our love. You are love. You are the epitome of what love stands for. You are a forgiver. You are a healer. Father, we ask that you would come and show out today, that you would touch people under the sound of my voice, Lord God, that you would heal, that you would love on, that you would comfort, that you would encourage those that are lost right now, Lord God, those that are looking for their way, that are trying to understand where they are in their life, Lord God. I'm asking that you would show up to them, that you would give them an ear to hear and eyes to see, a heart to feel and a mind to receive, Lord, all that you have for them, all that you are calling them to be. We ask, Lord, that you would forgive us for any sins, anything that we've done knowingly or unknowingly, willingly or unwillingly, but still caused you pain, still caused you hurt, still caused you displeasure, still was against your will and your way, Lord God. We ask that you would just wash us afresh, wipe us anew, Lord God. Father, we thank you for so many things that you're doing in our lives, Lord. So many doors that you've opened, even the doors that you've closed, we thank you. We thank you for ingenuity. We thank you for experience. We thank you for wisdom and knowledge. We thank you for new days, new experiences. We thank you for the hurt even that we suffered through this week, because you came and saw about that hurt, that pain. We thank you, Lord. Even through our tears, we praise you. Father, I ask that today you would give me insight into who you are, that you would help me to share with those that listen, and for myself, Lord, who you are, so that we can pray effectively, so that we can walk in our anointings and callings effectively, so that we can walk into our purpose effectively. The effectual prayers of the righteous availeth much. So I ask, Lord God, that you would receive my prayers and bless the land, Father. Have your way. Speak through me. I surrender myself to you completely, Lord God. It's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. So this morning, I thank you, Lord God, for giving me this topic, this discussion point, Elohim, which means the creator. And I think it's appropriate to start there, because without creation, we wouldn't be here. Without God saying, let there be, there would not be. So I think it was very apropos that the first name that he gave me was Elohim. And you can find it when you open up your Bible to the book of Genesis, the first chapter and the first verse. How appropriate is that? That right there in the beginning, and it starts off in the beginning, but it's in the beginning of your Bible, chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created. Elohim, the creator. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. When you have your time to study, I ask that you would read Genesis chapter 1 just to see all that God has done, all that he created. And the crazy thing is, when I was researching, Elohim is used over 2,500 times in the entire Bible. 2,500 times. And Elohim is like the plural of El. And El is used about 200 times in the Bible. And Elohim, though it's plural, it's not saying many gods. What it's giving tribute is to the characteristics of God. So there's so many to name that Elohim, you are every. So look at it that way, and also look at it as God, the three in one, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Look at it all together. And so Elohim, the creator. And what I wanted to speak about today was, you know, we get caught up in life every day, whether you work, whether you're going to school, whether you're going to your business, whether you're going on set, whether you're going to write, whatever it is, creation is all around. But we get so bogged down by what we're doing and what we're going through that sometimes we ignore it. And I'm just grateful that God reminded me of who he is and what he does. And I'm going to share a little personal tidbit with you. So you all know that I was born and raised in Paterson, New Jersey, and I believe by now you all know that Atlanta was the city I wanted to move to since the age of 10 when I came to visit my uncle. Well, in the busy day-to-day life, I live in one of the metropolitan areas of Atlanta, so it's still considered the metropolitan area of Atlanta, but I don't live within the city of Atlanta, but I'm a hop, skip, and jump away from Atlanta. So many times I have to go downtown to take care of different things that I'm doing, but I never really, unless I'm in a car looking out a window, looking at Atlanta as the beautiful city that it is. The other night I was in a meeting, and after the meeting we were walking and talking, and it dawned on me, or this may be, I got to Atlanta in 96, left in 2005, came back in 2009. So I've lived here off and on, 96 to 2005, don't know how many years. 2009 to 2018 is 9 years, and it actually will be officially 9 years next month. I'm going to say I've lived here about 18, 19 years, my two stints in Atlanta. And in that 18, 19 years, maybe for the fifth time in that time, I realized I live in Atlanta, Georgia. With all my walking about, with all my driving through, with all my being on MARTA, with all my walking downtown, with me going to meetings, me taking classes, me doing whatever it is that I do, for the fifth time maybe, I realized I live in the city that I've always wanted to live in since I was 10 years old. And it really hit me when I was standing on the bridge on Peachtree Street. I'm not sure what the cross street is, but you guys know if you travel Atlanta, there is a bridge, and on it, it says Peachtree on both sides. I was standing there looking at the traffic going underneath the bridge I was standing on top of, looking at the words Peachtree, when it dawned on me, I live in Atlanta. God has graced me, blessed me, and given me one of the requests, the desires of my heart. I'm actually here. And I got so emotional because he had done something that I asked for when I was 10. And he blessed me to be here. And for people, I guess you have to tap into this with me because I can't explain the feeling to you. Atlanta is a beautiful city. Is it the best city on the planet? I'm not going to say that, but, you know, I might, honestly, because it's where I love. But it's a beautiful city. The buildings are gorgeous. If you've ever been in Atlanta at night, it lights up. It's reminiscent of New York. It's like a little New York. Gorgeous. The buildings are tall and they're brightly lit. And then on the streets, they have trees that are wrapped in lights. They have waterfalls that are lit up. They have like the World of Coca-Cola that's lit up. Centennial Park that has light. It's just gorgeous. Gorgeous. We get so busy, though. We miss it. The little things. And I'm saying this today because God created. Yeah, he used man's hands to build in Atlanta, but God created. God created those people. He created you and I. He helped us to create tools. He gave us the minds to put together the fact that there needed to be roads, that we may have to do away with some of the foliage, the trees, some of the grass, some of the dirt roads. He helped us to build cars and houses. Creation is God. So as I sat there and looked over the bridge, being in the very city that I fell in love with at the age of 10, it just really hit me how powerful God is and how you can ask him for anything. You may not get it right then. You may not ever get it. Let me be really honest with you. But God gives you better. And he gives you the desires of your heart. We talked about this in Bible study on Tuesday. The desires you have in your heart are God-given. So you desire things sometimes and you wonder why. Why? Or how? How can it be fulfilled? Well, God placed the seed in you. So now you have to have faith to step out, walk, and believe it. You know, there are a lot of transplants here in Atlanta, and you'll hear the Atlanteans, which, you know, they don't call themselves that, but I call them that because they were born and raised here. They don't like it a lot. Sometimes, you know, they get sick and tired of the transplants. But just think of it. You being a transplant to Atlanta or you being a transplant to D.C. or New York or Philly or wherever, Cali, wherever you came from, you're where you are because you stepped out on faith. And people don't even recognize it. Wherever you were born and raised, you could have stayed there. You could have grown up around the people that you know, in the area you were familiar with, doing what you were familiar with doing. But you got this yearning, this desire to go somewhere else, to do something different. And you did it. And that's faith. You moved, you transported, you transplanted yourself somewhere. That's a sign of faith. That's an act of faith. And sometimes I forget. And when I listen to other people that come to Atlanta, it's like, wow. They don't even realize that they did something that a lot of people are scared to do. My story is my uncle lived here, but basically when I moved here, I had no job. I had an apartment that I had maybe 2 months of rent for. I had no vehicle. I didn't know anybody except for my uncle. And I got to know my aunt that he was married to. You know, I was in New Jersey. They were in Atlanta. So there was no constant connection. There was really no interaction. So here I am, brand fresh, spanking new, 24 years young, with a two-year-old, moving to somewhere where basically had nobody. At the time, you're not thinking about faith. You just know, I got to go. And sometimes faith is just like that. Sometimes faith is, I've got to do it. I've got to go. And faith all the time is not even seeing your destination. And by destination, I don't mean Atlanta, but what's going to happen once I get there? How am I going to survive? How am I going to move on? How am I going to progress? Now I'm talking about faith generally. You see that you want a business. You see you want to start something. You want to be somewhere. You want to do something. You don't have a roadmap. Faith is not a roadmap. If you have a roadmap, that is not faith. It is not seeing what you believe. It's not feeling what you want. It's not tangible yet. All you know is you have an idea that you have to walk out. Faith is doing it. Faith is believing that even though you failed in the past, even though you fell in the past, you're still going to do it anyway. Faith tells you that you're going to walk a tightrope and there's no net underneath you, and you still do it. And I need you to hear that, because in creation, and God being Elohim, he calls you to have faith. Not only does he call you to have faith, he calls you to obey him. And this is what I learned. And I know she's going to be mad at me, but I'm going to shout her out anyway. And I'm going to send this link to her so she can listen to it, because it's something that was on my heart. I have a cousin who's an author. Her name is Victoria Christopher Murray. If you've never gotten a book by her, please do so. I'm not saying this because she's my cousin. I'm not saying this because she's my favorite author. She is. She is both. But she can write her booty off. And yes, I said what I said. When I tell you, her first book, Temptation, was like my favorite book. And then she continued to write books like Joy, The X-Files, and they got betterer and betterer. Yeah, I said betterer. She walked away from a job to become an author. That's faith. She obeyed God, obedience. She was meant to be a writer. She was meant to be an author. She was meant to be a motivational speaker. Because when she talks to you about writing, it inspires you. She was meant to be a teacher. She teaches a class on writing. I never really, honestly, wanted to write a book ever, to be very honest. But I heard God say several times throughout my walk in being a screenwriter, a writer, period, that I was to write books. And I laughed it off because I feel more comfortable and in my comfort zone writing a screenplay, writing a stage play, writing for film and TV. I feel more comfortable writing monologues. I can flow and go with it. It's easier for me because I'm writing down words. I don't really have to worry about grammar and punctuation too much. I don't have to really worry about different scenarios you would when you're writing a book. so it's easier for me. And I know that's my calling. But through it, God showed to me, you're going to write a book. And he's actually given me about 4 or 5 books already that need to be written. Then I've had people who have confirmed, people who have prophesied to me, you need to write a book. And this should be a book. And I'm sitting there flabbergasted, like, how could they possibly know that needs to be a book because God told me that? And God, are you telling on me? But I never really, and I'm being honest with you, transparent, wanted to walk into writing a book. Well, my cousin, I told you, she teaches classes. And for some reason, one of the classes she was going to teach, I just had this unction in my spirit, this burning desire to go for this class. I needed to be in it. Not only did I need to be in it, but my sister needed to be in it. And so I was like, hey, cuz, you know, your other cousin, not talking about me, talking about my sister, has been writing, is thinking about writing. It's in her spirit. Are we able to take the class? And she was like, sure, come on. So we sat in her class, and it was like not the beginner class that I wanted. It was a little bit more experience. It was like editing. But she taught me so much that the fear, and I'm going to be so honest with you, because it was a fear. It was a fear of grammar. It was a fear of punctuation. It was a fear of being able to write 300, 400 pages of interesting dialogue and action and revelation. It was the fear of rejection. It was the fear of failure. That's why I never wrote a book. And I'm being transparent today because so many times we cannot walk out in faith and obedience because of our fear. Fear cripples you. There are so many blessings that God has for you if you could get through fear and have faith. But we took the class, and it was like veils had been torn off of my eyes, and bondage was released. I was released and free, and I was like, I can write a book. And guess what? One of my very next projects is to get writing. I mean, I've already started because of her class. Like, I have the characters. I have the scene. It's just amazing that it was already in me, but fear cripples me. So God had to bring my cousin to get that fear taken away from me. I'm not going to say it's 100% taken away, but my faith is stronger than the fear is. But I said all of that to say, because I'm not done, she's written, I want to say, she's probably, and I'm just guesstimating, on her 20th, 22nd, 23rd, 24th, 25th, I'm not sure yet. It's in her 20s, though, book. And she went out of her comfort zone. God spoke to her. This is what I'm talking about, obedience, to write a series, The 7 Deadly Sins, and we know them in the Bible, a series on lust and envy, greed, all those things. Her obedience to God to write those books opened the door for God to bless her and allow Bishop T.D. Jakes to purchase the rights to film those books and make them into movies coming up in the very near future. And I have to shout her out. I've been thinking about it since she made the announcement. And my cousin is very low-key. She does not celebrate herself in public. She is not that person. So we always celebrate her for her. So for her to do an announcement, I know that was, like, not easy for her, but she had to. Because God does bless you publicly. I love it. Since she made that announcement, it's been on my heart to tell her, and I will, but I wanted to do it this forum too, how proud I am. And I don't just say those words lightly. I mean, I tell her every time she writes a book that I'm proud of her, but I'm really proud because I know she got out of her comfort zone and obeyed God to do this series, 7 Deadly Sins. It's not easy to talk about. We don't talk a lot about it in church. 7 Deadly Sins, and she started with lust. How many times have you gone into your local church and that's the topic of the day? Not many times. Not many preachers are going to talk about it because it's not popular and it's not well received.
So I know she had to walk out on faith and obey God. And because of her obedience, he blessed her big time, majorly. And what she did for me with her obedience was allow me to for real see what obedience does in your life. I have been running from things that God has called me to do and to say and to walk into because of fear and being comfortable and trying to fit in and not ruffling feathers and not making people mad. But Elohim, the creator, who created all things, are in his hand. All things are in his power and under his authority. Him. He has called me to do some things that I run from, been scared of, fearful of. But because of my cousin's obedience and seeing what it's like to obey and what God has for you when you obey. And I'm not even talking about reward, not the reward of a Bishop T.D. Jakes picking up your books and making them into a film. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the reward, the satisfaction that comes with just doing what he asks you to do, the peace of mind that you have, the joy that you have. That, because of what she walked out, now I can walk it out. I would love to sit here and lie to you and say that I will always obey. As soon as God say do something, I'm going to do it. No, I'm still human flesh. I still have my moments. But I'm so on board with obeying what he has for me, what he said to me, doing those things even more so now. I want the reward of peace of mind. What could happen if we obey God and do what he asks us to do when he asks us to do it? What would that feel like? I want to know. I believe I've been holding up the blessings I was supposed to get because I've been disobedient and rebellious and fearful. There are many things I would love to see in my life and many things I would love for my children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, my cousins, my aunts, my uncles, my nieces, my nephews. And I'm blocking it because of my disobedience. I'm talking about me. I'm pretty sure none of you are disobedient like I am. I'm talking about Andrea right now. But what could happen if you obeyed God when he said do it and stopped questioning him 1,500 times and procrastinating and pushing it off? What happens when you obey? If this is true, and we know that it is, that God is the creator, he owns everything. How many doors could open to you because you obeyed him? How many windows could be given, risen, raised, if you simply obey him? How many foreclosures could you avoid? How many evictions could you avoid? How many repossessions could you avoid? How many deaths, and I don't mean the physical death, but the death of a dream, the death of a friendship, the death of a relationship, the death of vision, the death of your future. How much of that could be avoided if you obeyed God? This has been on my heart all week. Obedience is better than sacrifice. That's biblical. Sacrifice is good. It's great. But God honors obedience more. Within obedience, there will be some sacrifice. Within obedience, there is a faith walk. Trust me, it's not going to be easy. You're going to have to sacrifice some time, maybe some money, maybe some people, maybe some events, some things. You're going to have to walk out on faith because you may not see it because there is no roadmap. But obedience is better than sacrifice. And I'm saying that to someone today because God has called you to do something and you have told him 25 different reasons why it cannot be done. You're still here justifying why you're not doing it, why you're not doing it. After excuse, after excuse, after excuse of why it cannot be done. And God is just sitting there. And my sister, my daughters, my niece and I talked about this at our family Bible study on Tuesday, at our Bible study on Tuesday, because it's not just a family Bible study, it's for everybody. We talked about it on Tuesday. When you disobey God, when he asks you to do something and you go lollygagging around and don't do it, have you ever noticed that he'll bring you right back to that very thing that you walked away from, that very area that you left? He'll bring you right back to it. No matter if it's been a day, a week, a year, 10 years, 20 years, he'll bring you back to that very same spot. And you still have to walk out what he asked you to walk out whenever he first asked. Yeah, it's real. So what I've gotten to see in my 21 plus years of age, time is not going to stop for anybody. And I remember one of my exes saying this. He said, 5 years. In 5 years, you could go back to school, get a degree. He said, give yourself 5 years and get it done. Or in that 5 years, you could not go back to school, not get your degree, not do anything. But guess what? 5 years is still going to pass. And he was so absolutely true. You can decide to do something or not do something. Time is still going to pass. I'd rather use this time of my life to obey what God is calling me to do and get it done and see where I'm going next, what's going to happen next. Don't you know when you read a book, aren't you excited when it's a good book, a good read to read, and you want to keep going to see what happens next? You don't want to read a book and sit there and be on page one and it's exciting and you close the book and never open it again, not to know what happened. But a lot of us do that with life. We sit there and say, okay, I'm going to do this one day. One day I'm going to do that. One day I'm going to get my degree. One day I'm going to open a business. One day I'm going to write a play. One day I'm going to open up a ministry. One day I'm going to become an entrepreneur. One day I'm going to be a music mogul. One day, one day, one day, one day, one day. That's you looking at the promise of God as if it's page one of your book and closing it. And then putting it on the shelf to collect dust and just leaving it there. Then you open up another book and you're going to do this one day. So you see page one of God's promise and you close that book and put it on the shelf. After a period of time, you notice you have about 20 books on your bookshelf. All have dust, practically brand new, never opened. What a waste. Wow, that's good. Thank you, Holy Spirit. What a waste of time. Why not that first book? Open it, dust off all the dust that's been on it, look at page one and keep flipping till you get to the end, because then you know what's going to happen because you've completed it. Then you get to pick up book two and book three and book 20 and book 50, and you live your best life because now you're doing the things that God has asked you to do. He's blessing you, and he's giving you more. What is that scripture? How does it go? To whom much is given, much is required. When God requires a lot of you or a lot from you, it's because he has more for you. It's like the talent. One talent was given to one servant. What was it? Two talents given to another servant and five talents given to another? Well, the one who had two and the one that had five, they doubled. But the one who had just one buried it. And it didn't increase. Stop burying your talents and walk out in them. Stop burying your increase because you're being disobedient. Walk out into what God has called you to do. Stop putting your book on the shelf. Pick it up, complete it, so you can go on to the next one. Yes, we have a purpose, but I never, ever believe you only have one purpose in life. I believe when you start accomplishing purpose, purposes happen. I've seen it. I've seen where one person has done what they're supposed to do, and it's not the end of their lives. Then they pick up something else, and they pick up something else because now God is saying, I can trust you. You're so worried about being able to trust God, but can God trust you to do what he asked you to do? Elohim, the creator, he created you for greatness. He created you for abundant living. He created you for such a time as this. Don't disappoint him. Walk out in it. Walk out in faith. Walk out in obedience. Go on. Go see what the end is going to be. Run to it. Run to your victory. Run to your success. Run to your productivity. Run to it. There are people who are waiting for you to do what you're supposed to do so they can do what they've got to do. You're holding everybody up. Stop being selfish. Stop being lazy. Stop being disobedient. Stop being fearful. Do I sound angry? Yes. Why? Because I'm talking to myself. Stop being the stop sign in everybody's life. Move out of your own way and trust God and trust that he's already poured into you what you need to move on. Elohim, the creator, this week, pray to him and thank him for all he's created. The trees, the skies, the birds, the ground, the land, the homes, the cars, the people, the beauty. Take time to just count your blessings this week. Take time to see the beauty even through your tears. Because the fact that you have tears, the fact that you're going through pain, the fact that you're going through something means that you're still here and you still can feel it. There are many people who aren't here anymore. We've lost so many people. Just this week, Aretha Franklin, RIP, the Queen of Soul, you're still here. So go out and walk out and do the very thing that God has called and created you to do. Elohim, so much for tuning in today. I really appreciate you for tuning in to Walking the Talk Radio. God has so much in store for you. There's so many things he wants to bless you with. You just got to trust him. Have faith. Walk out and be obedient this week. Pick one thing this week that you're going to obey and do it. See it to the end. And I pray that next week will get even better for you. I pray that God will open doors that you've been trying to open all your life, and he does it this week. I believe it, and I believe in you. God bless you, and I'll talk to you next week.